The reading's taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, and then verses 10 to 16. This is found on page 1145 of the Pew Bibles. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. Verse 10. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man, except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God, except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak. Not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. You all right?
Yep.
Let's hope you're going to be all right in 20 minutes' time. Let's see what happens. Many of you wouldn't appreciate this, but Debbie leading prayers this morning was a great battle for her. You wouldn't have known, would you? You wouldn't have guessed. But years and years ago, Debbie couldn't have stood in public and have done that. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in her life over a period of time. That's enabled her to stand here and lead us so brilliantly in prayer. Thank you, Debbie. Thank you, Holy Spirit. As Simon said, it's Pentecost. The Holy Spirit... this is your day. For some churches, this is it, this day. Then he's forgotten. But every day is your day. Today is your day. So we welcome you. We welcome you here today. Do we? Do we welcome the Holy Spirit today? We'll make room for him. The speaker has to shut up, shut him up. We make room for him. Come, Holy Spirit. The theme Simon has given me to speak about today is the Spirit of Power. The Spirit of Power. And the first thing we're going to look is in two parts, my talk. So the first part, it's not a three-point sermon, it's a two-point sermon, which breaks the rules really, doesn't it? But there you go. A demonstration of the Spirit's power. As Nikki's just read to us, Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on man's wisdom, but on God's power. And it's easy just to hear those words read or listen to them as we have done this morning. But we need to understand a little bit of the background of the man who wrote those words, the Apostle Paul. Because he's talking about not coming in cleverness and sort of all sorts of personal strength and gift. He's talking about coming in the power of the Holy Spirit. This is his background. He was originally called Saul of Tarsus, which meant he came from Tarsus. Tarsus was the seat of a famous university. Apparently it was higher in reputation than the universities of Athens and Alexandria. So Paul was raised in an academic environment. Later he went to Jerusalem, where he sat at the feet and was educated by the celebrated Rabbi Gamaliel, known throughout the world as the greatest mind of his day. And Paul became a rabbi. To be a rabbi meant you were a minister, you were a teacher, and you were a lawyer all in one. I think Simon's two of those things, but I don't think he's passed his law exams yet. It was a big thing to be a rabbi. And he spent many years in a detailed study of the scriptures. He was a Jew, he was a Pharisee, and because of his father, he was also a Roman citizen. So Paul had a brilliant mind and a privileged background. This is a brilliant man we're thinking about. The words that he wrote, a brilliant mind, with all these sort of privileges in his background. But at Corinth, when he wrote these words, when he spoke these words, he didn't use his higher education. He didn't claim his social standing. He didn't turn to his wealth of wisdom and knowledge or use eloquent words. Instead, he spoke about Jesus with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. He spoke about Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, at St. Paul's, this present time, I think we have quite an excellent preaching team, although I may say it myself. And it's a good team, and we're led by Simon Coupland, who, hopefully successfully embarrassing him now, is one of the most consistently gifted speakers I have heard. I've heard good speakers occasionally, but here's someone week in, week out, month in, month out, consistently good. We are privileged. And the team do their best. But with respect to Simon, with respect to me, with respect to the team, we need more than gifted speakers. We need speakers who speak with the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to ask this question. What is this demonstration of the Spirit's power? And other people, perhaps even Fiona and Simon and others on the preaching team, will give you slightly different answers. Not different answers because they contradict each other, but different answers because they sort of emphasize something else. My emphasis this morning is going to be what it will be, you'll see. Now, to answer this question, I need to stand before you this morning and make a confession. You might be shocked. You might think, no, I'm not surprised. But there are some times in my life, especially when things aren't going well for me, especially when I lie awake at night and just can't get to sleep and my mind races over all sorts of issues, or particularly when God doesn't answer prayer in the way I think he should, that I wonder sometimes, is there really a God? I wonder sometimes if this whole church and Christian thing isn't just a big con, and we've all got sucked into it, we're all caught up in it, but actually it's not real. That Richard Dawkins was right after all. I seriously and honestly tell you, I think like that sometimes. I hope you still speak to me afterwards, but that's the way I am sometimes. And people deal with these times of doubt differently. I know people who will turn back to the scriptures and they'll reread passages they know well. And the truth of scripture will just remind them of their faith. They will begin to doubt their doubts and they'll believe their beliefs afresh. Others do it by praying. They talk to God. They get alone with God and they begin to reconnect in that relationship. Others will go and talk to friends or a trusted counselor and they'll pray together and they'll find their faith renewed and encouraged. But what works best for me, I could use some of those methods, but what works best for me in those times of doubt, in those times of questioning, those times of darkness, is to remind myself of God's power in my life in the past. The things that God has done for me, that are undeniable, that are historical facts. They can't be changed. You can't tell me they're not true, because I was there. It happened to me. And when I remind myself of those things, I find myself re-encouraged. Faith rises up within me. So I want to just tell you about two of them. My initial encounter with the Holy Spirit. I became a Christian in a church which believed that the filling or baptism of the Holy Spirit was a separate experience to conversion. We believed that in conversion the Holy Spirit was at work, otherwise you couldn't become a Christian. But there was a difference between being converted and being filled. And so, because of the teaching in that church, a teaching I still would hold on to, I intentionally sought to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I can remember sitting in parks with a girlfriend I had at the time when we should have been doing better things, but I was praying. Praying for the Holy Spirit, and all sorts of things were happening, but I was in a battle. See, I had a fear that if the Spirit really filled me, I would lose control. And I hated losing control. I didn't want to be out of control. But what happened to me was, so I almost gave up and thought, well, this is not for me. But one Sunday morning, similar time to this, during a communion service, something happened inside me. I was just so filled with God's power. I describe it as a champagne cork popping. You know that lovely, if you like champagne, that is, that lovely sound, that pop, that's soon to be followed by a plop, 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 and a gluck, 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 gluck. I had the pop, and it just rose up within me, and suddenly I began speaking in language I didn't know. I realized it was tongues, for the Bible talks about speaking in tongues. I had this encounter with the Holy Spirit. That was my really first encounter that was so, so powerful. And the second thing I want to talk to you about is what I call the Toronto thing. Some of you will not have the faintest idea what I'm talking about. Others will nod either in, oh yes, or oh yes. The Toronto blessing was a name given by the Christian and secular press to an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that began in Toronto, Canada, there's the clue, in the early 1990s. On Sunday the 29th of May, 1994, I was celebrating a party in my home in Berrylands to celebrate my 50th birthday that had happened 6 days before, so work it out. And amongst the guests who were due to come that night were Simon and Caroline Groves. Caroline is the same as Fiona is here. She's that at cause I'm not quite sure what you are sometimes, the honorary curate. She's the same at St. Peter's down the road. Some of you will know Simon and Caroline. And they were late. I thought it was rather rude to be late for my birthday party. But when they came in, they were absolutely ecstatic. They were just full of something. And they told me they'd been earlier in that Sunday evening to Holy Trinity Brompton and heard a lady called Ellie Mumford from the Vineyard Church talk about her visit to the Airport Vineyard Church in Toronto, Canada. And what had happened as she began to preach. She didn't finish preaching because the church just went bananas with the power of the Holy Spirit moving everywhere. Now, I like to hear those sort of stories, but there was something naturally suspicious in me that I want the real thing. I don't want something else. Are you like that sometimes? If it's real and it's of God, I want it. If it's not of God, if it's not real, keep away from it. And so I attended a leaders' meeting at Queen's Road Church in Wimbledon just a couple of weeks later. There were about 20 people there. It wasn't a big gathering. And I'd gone with a couple of other leaders from the community church where I was then to find out more. God knew my heart. I wanted to know if this was for real. And I remember sitting down in a chair and we were waiting for this meeting to start. And suddenly I felt two hands on my shoulders and I turned around to see who it was. And there was nobody there. And so it was very strange to feel a slight pressure on the shoulders. And so I sort of tried to stand up, and I could not physically stand up. Something was holding me in this chair, and then as clear as a bell, not an audible word, but in my heart, in my mind, I heard God say, "This is of me. It's okay." And I've heard many criticisms since of Toronto, many criticisms, some of the excesses or some of the aspects of Toronto. And I can't argue with individual stories and cases if things get wrong, they've got wrong. But I know God said to me, the core heart of what I'm doing is true. It's from me. And so we told the wider congregation of the community church about this some weeks later. It was a Wednesday night. And I remember there was about 100 people present on this Wednesday night, and we told them what we knew. And then we said, after about 20 minutes of talk, we said, if you'd like to be prayed for, we had a big gap on one side. Go stand over there. 60%+ of the numbers stood up, to my absolute horror and shock. And we began to pray for people. And we just saw the power of God fall on people's lives. One story only, Aruna Gunawardena, a young, gracious young man from Sri Lanka, fell to the floor, writhing like a snake. This is not what I'd expected, writhing like a snake. Who's like a snake in the Bible? So he went over to him and he rebuked the enemy, the Satan, the devil, in Jesus' name. And he calmed down. And For the next few months, every time we mentioned the Holy Spirit in a service, he would begin to pogo. Strangest sight I've ever seen. Jump me down on the spot like this. I didn't find it offensive. I found it delightful. That this young man, what about him now? He's living and working in Italy as an English teacher. He's a man of prayer. He's a man who lives close to God. And his experience began that day. And in my personal experience, I knew times of God's power, the Spirit of God surging through my physical body. Sometimes other people, if I was praying for people, other people had to hold me up so I didn't fall over myself. Sometimes I felt like I was drunk. Apparently I came back from one meeting. I fortunately had a police sergeant in the front seat next to me. And as we drove back from Cobham to Kingston, he said to me, "Peter, are you all right?" I said, "I'm just great, because it's been such a powerful meeting tonight." And he said, "Well, you've stopped at 2 green lights and driven through 2 red lights." And I'm sure if I was breathalyzed, it would have been 0. But I'd been inebriated in the spirit. I'd never experienced that before. And I look back on these times. I look back and I see the lives that people have changed. I actually went to Toronto for a week in September of 94. And one evening, because some of the prayer ministry team normally prayed, we're at a meeting with John Wimber, famous speaker over there. I was allowed to be part of the prayer ministry team. They found out I was a pastor, so I could do it. We prayed for this family. This is Saturday night. We prayed for this family for ages. And next morning, at testimony time in the meeting, this whole family got up. And the father walked forward with his teenage son, who we spent a lot of time praying for, and said, "We've just been for a 5-mile run." The big deal was that he couldn't run 5 seconds before his severe asthma broke in. And God had healed this teenage boy completely and utterly of asthma. Completely delivered him. I saw the presence of God. They were all demonstrations of the Spirit's power. And they reminded me that God is real, the Holy Spirit is real. And in those times of doubt, I reflect back on them. Can you understand that? Sometimes we need to do that. But of course, that was then. That's 14 years ago. And I just want to very briefly share with you what I'm hearing is happening now. You can dismiss this. You can ignore this. It's up to you. But I'm hearing this from people, including one of them is my eldest son. Isaiah 43:18-19 says this: "Forget the former things. Don't dwell in the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not see it?" And the new thing that I'm hearing God is doing has no name. That's great. And it's not from one person or one church or one ministry. But it began by a number of men and women who prophesied first in 1991 and then in 2001, very similar things. Two words are being consistently linked with it. The first one is wildfire. They're talking about a fire that is uncontrollable, all-consuming, and difficult to put out. It's not a fire that's meant to be put in a fireplace or in a bonfire. It's meant to burn where it will burn. And they're saying this move of God will be in the church, but also out of the church in the community. And the second word is where it's originating from. It's originating in Wales. Another Welsh revival is coming, but it's not a Welsh thing. It will spread to England, it will spread to the UK, it will spread to Europe. That's what they're saying. And they're saying that God's ultimate purpose in this is the Islamic world. That God, as you probably know, many Muslims are coming to faith, almost all of them through supernatural experiences. It's the only way they can be reached. And one of the signs that it was going to happen, have been said, is the revival of success in Welsh sport. You may laugh, and you know you can make something mean anything it means, can't you? But Wrexham are relegated out of the league at football. There's a success. But at the same time, Wales, amazingly, won the Six Nations. Cardiff are in the FA Cup final on Saturday afternoon. Swansea are champions of their division and have been promoted. And the Principality of Wales has 3 world champion boxers at this time. Not bad for a country that likes singing more than fighting.
Now, you do that with your will, but I believe that something is happening. To hear my own son passionate about it last Monday afternoon, saying, "Dad, look at this website. Look at what is happening." And he's passionate about things, but not that passionate about these sort of things. And so people are saying, "I'm making room for you, Holy Spirit. You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome." So a demonstration of power. Second point, speaking out what the Holy Spirit has given. Again, in this passage, Paul wrote, "We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us." This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit. Expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. And in the same book of Corinthians, in chapter 12, Paul expands on one aspect of words taught by the Spirit. He says, "Now about spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be ignorant. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one the word of knowledge, to another discerning between spirits, to another prophecy." Particularly there, the word of knowledge and another prophecy. We have seen a little experience of some of those things in our church. The Tuesday morning prayer meeting, we gather around in a time of freedom and sharing and hearing from God. We have individual prayer sessions with people where God speaks into people's lives prophetically through words of knowledge. Occasionally we have people come to the front and give out a word. And I know some of you think, "Oh no, not again." I know you think that. Because I fear some of us are closed to it. But we need to welcome this. We need to recognise that we take these gifts seriously. They'll demonstrate God's power. So when we come together, be it as a church on a Sunday or in midweek, in small groups or team gatherings or whatever, we should be open, we should be expectant for the Holy Spirit to speak through gifts like these. Even this morning. In a few minutes, Simon's going to come and lead us in a ministry time. And so he's gone. Come, Holy Spirit. You're welcome here. We're making room for you. Come, Holy Spirit. I hope you can say amen to that. I'm not suggesting that you will have the experiences I've had. You'll do the things that I did. That God will move in the same way as he has done in the past. It seems to me that every day is a new day for God and his Holy Spirit. Every day, every moment, every opportunity. But I've emailed one or two of my friends this week and said, "When I finish, I'm going to just give a chance for the Holy Spirit to speak." And I've asked, "That's fine. I've asked that they might hear from God and listen and see if God's got something for us this morning. So we're going to do that. If you weren't emailed, but you're sitting there thinking, "I've got something," please come forward. Come and speak to Simon and explain what it is. He will talk to you, and it may be appropriate to have that shared as well. I have got three things. Never quite sure whether I should start or I think I'll give the lead on this occasion. And if anybody else has something to share, please come up. I particularly asked God on Wednesday night to speak to me during time of prayer. And I got these three things, or two things and another third thing later. There's someone here this morning and you are running from your past. And your past is one that's been a damaged and abused past. And God sees and understands your need to run. He understands what you're doing. But he's calling you to stop and stand still. And in this stillness, he will begin to heal and restore you. God's promise to you is that your tears, of which I believe have been there many, will be turned into laughter. It will take time, but the journey begins now. It starts today. So stop running and stand still before God. Secondly, there is also someone present who is in danger of entering into a relationship that you know would be wrong. You know it would be wrong. And God wants to remind you this morning that you can choose to do what is right. You can choose to say no. But he also knows the pressure, the temptation, and the weakness. And so he's asking you to confess this situation to him and to perhaps trusted friends. And as you confess it to God and confess it to others, you'll find that extra strength to make the right choice. It's so important you make the right choice. And the final one, and the weight on this is particularly heavy on me, is that there are some people, plural, who are in an ongoing battle in your personal lives. It's either recurring sickness, recurring financial pressure, recurring relationship tensions, something like that. And it seems like you're going through a wilderness experience and a testing time. It's been going on and on. And God wants you to know very clearly this morning that this is not a wilderness of discipline due to sin and failure in your life. It is not that. But rather, you are sharing in the sufferings of Jesus, who also went through times of wilderness and testing. And the good news, if you can be found in this pain, the good news is that you're being set apart to become one who overcomes in this generation. God is looking for overcomers in our time. Your faithfulness in keeping going will result in you knowing the power of God's Spirit in your life. And as a result of that, other people will be drawn to you and you will be a blessing to many people. If anyone else has anything, now would be the time.